everyone. Jenna Cameron, welcome on in. 97.5 The Fanatic. We broadcast from the Tropicana Hotel Casino Resort in Atlantic City, part of the Maxwell Football Club's 79th annual extravaganza, their gala function tonight, their annual big shindig. And a lot of stars in the house. We'll be broadcasting tonight till 7 o'clock, 76ers basketball. And we will just be rolling some of the stars throughout the course of the evening. And we start sitting right to my right now. A lot of happens with the Philadelphia Eagles over the last two, three, 4 days. It's been a crazy week, maybe more so than was expected. And ESPN's Adam Kaplan, usually my co-host on Fridays during the football season, with me right now on this tremendous Friday in the Delaware Valley. And Adam, first off, great to see you. The Maxwell Award is always a tremendous function.
Great to see you, Joe. Great to be here. And yeah, it's been a wild week, as it usually is with your Philadelphia Eagles. And things tend to happen that we don't really expect. I did expect Mark Sanchez to be moved. I didn't know where he was going to go, but I expected to be able to trade him. That deal, of course, went down today. And just the fact that they addressed a lot of needs, which we expected, and they got one of the best safeties in football, which I don't want to say it surprised me, because I'm told the Ravens were in on Rodney McLeod, but when you look at the totality of the moves, the only one I think you could criticize just based on money would be the quarterback, Chase Daniel, but we'll get into that and explain why they had to go where they had to go.
I've talked to a few different people, including Jaws last night, who is very high on Rodney McLeod. He thinks they got a heck of a player there. You know, obviously they have now at this point with him and Malcolm Jenkins, and this, look, it's a passing era of the NFL, more so than ever. You got to be able to cover. You got to have some versatility. They have, you've got to think, out of the gates here, 22 starters on a team, they've got to have one of the better safety tandems now in the NFL.
When is the last time the Eagles had two lined up with two really solid safeties at the same time?
You know, first thing that comes to mind, I guess, is before Michael Lewis fell off the cliff, when Dawk and Michael Lewis were doing their thing. Now, he hit a wall in 06, but before that, for two or three years, they were rolling.
Tells you over 10 years ago how tough it is in the National Football League. Probably the hardest position to draft out of 32 teams. If you talk to them, they will tell you safety is the hardest to draft and develop. The Eagles have two excellent safeties. McLeod, by the way, is a better football player than Malcolm Jenkins. How about that?
Wow. Are you surprised, Adam, before we go specific on all the players, are you surprised that the Eagles were this active?
Well, no. I thought they'd sign a guard. I thought they'd sign a safety. I thought they'd sign a corner, not Quentin Ron Brooks. But they've kind of addressed what I thought they would address. I knew 6 weeks ago Chase Daniel was going to be an Eagle. That wasn't a surprise to me. They've addressed a lot of needs. That's typically what you do. But they still have a lot of work to do. This is not a great roster. Still, this is a 500 team to me on paper. We'll see what they do the rest of free agency. Then in the draft. And I want to start off by saying this. They're not done at quarterback. They're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to draft a quarterback.
At eight or later?
Let's see who's there at eight. If Jared Goff drops to eight, I think they're in play at eight.
Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns right now have a direct, what they will have a direct result on the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously. What is your for the audience at home that maybe not know what I'm talking about, Cleveland's picking two in the draft. Cleveland's the team by far in the top eight, maybe in all of the first round, the most motivated to have to get a quarterback, and certainly a pick two behind Tennessee. They'll have their pick of the litter of a QB. We're hearing rumblings that perhaps they could be in the Kaepernick conversation.
Well, the head coach, like, Hugh Jackson loves Kaepernick. But I think if you had to handicap it, Denver makes the most sense. They traded for Sanchez today. He's a backup quarterback. That's all he is.
Do you think Cleveland takes the best quarterback in their minds?
Everyone around the league thinks at number two they're taking quarterback. Wentz obviously is the best quarterback for this draft. If the draft took place today, that's what most people around the league think. It would be Wentz, and then Goff would go within the top 10.
Jenna Cameron, Adam Kaplan. It is the Maxwell Football Club Awards Banquet down in the Tropicana here in Atlantic City. 79th annual. A lot of stars in the house tonight. Obviously, Mike talking to a lot of guests throughout the day and the guys earlier in the day. Adam, this quarterback scenario, it's interesting because a lot of people interpret it out of the gate, hey, Sam Bradford signed. That kind of shuts it down. And then it was, well, Chase Daniel signed, and, well, that really, really shuts it down. I agree with your instincts. I don't think it necessarily does. Bradford's a short-term contract.
It's a one-year deal to me.
Chase Daniel is a backup quarterback. Whether he can play in the role higher remains to be seen. But certainly by no standard has he ever proven to be a winning pro football quarterback. Someone you can say, well, that guy's going to be a top 10 guy. The goal isn't to have one of the top 25 quarterbacks in football. The goal is to have a top 10, top 5 quarterback in football. If the Eagles see their guy at 8, I still think they could be incredibly motivated to do it.
It's because of contract structure. You're really paying Bradford for one season, then you'll see. You'll get to that $4 million base guarantee in year two, which has offset language, which means if they cut him after year one, they would owe him up to $4 million. If he gets a deal worth $4 million or more, which he almost certainly would, he's a former first pick overall, they'd be off the hook. That money would get rebated back to the cap, but they would take an immediate cap hit. Now, when you look at the situation at quarterback for the Eagles, to me, it's Bradford. They go to training camp. He's the guy. But let me tell you this. He does not have a vice grip lock on this job like, let's say, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers have on their job. It's Bradford is expected to start week one, but if Bradford is dealing with injuries, if he does not perform well in training camp, and Daniel gets the work with the ones, which he would if Bradford's not on the field, and he plays lights out and performs lights out in practice, then the narrative could change. But Sam Bradford, let's not make a mistake here for people trying to quote me. He's the starting quarterback for this football team. That's not up to debate. But he doesn't have a vice grip on this job. He needs to just perform, and he'll be the guy all season. But we know historically Bradford doesn't play through a lot of injuries. He's had shoulder injuries. He had a shoulder injury last season. He's had ankle, knee, obviously two ACLs. He hasn't shown that he could stay healthy. Chase Daniel is a complete unknown other than to the head coach, Doug Peterson, who drove the bus. The reason why this player is here is because of one person, the head coach. And he believes so much in this football player. If Daniel has to play, he has all the belief in the world that they'll be a very good football team at quarterback.
Quick interjection, by the way, totally aside from specifics of the Eagles roster. Doug Peterson, the new head coach, will be here tonight for the Maxwell Football Club Awards. And certainly, you know, he's following suit with something that Andy Reid did many years, which was come to this event. I think it's something, look, Chip came the first year when he had been coach of the year, but then didn't come. And I think to Andy Reid's credit, and kind of thing I think that's a little insight perhaps people at home wouldn't necessarily always recognize, but a guy like Andy Reid, I think with his respect for the game, respect for Philadelphia, because this is a Philadelphia institution, the Maxwell Football Club, you know, Andy Reid recognized both from a Philadelphia standpoint and a sort of celebration of the game of football standpoint, it was important for him to be here every year, even if he wasn't being honored. He was honored maybe two or three times as a coach of the year, but so many other years he came. And I think it's great out of the gate, Doug Peterson making a point tonight, you know, to be at an event like this.
I think every head coach of the area, college or pro, should honor this club. It's why you're here. It's why I'm here. This is football. This is where I wanted to be. I mean, I'm working in free agency. I'm putting stories out literally as I'm here, getting out of my car.
I'm just hanging with celebs and partying, but you're working.
Yeah, I'm working. I'm actually working while I'm here, but I wanted to be here, and I was not going to miss it. And this is a great crowd, by the way. Tyler Matakevich is here from Temple, who I met at the Combine. Who had a good workout,
yep,
and saw him at the Senior Bowl, at one of the places around here, one of the All-Star games. But, yeah, it was the Senior Bowl. This is a great night of football, and I can't wait.
610-632-0975. If you want to jump in this evening, we can certainly get you on. Adam Kaplan and I broadcasting again from the 79th Annual Maxwell Football Club Awards Banquet in Atlantic City. Adam, did the other moves, what caught your eye? What to you stood out in either a positive or negative? Wow, that's interesting.
Rodney McLeod, here's what I didn't know. I didn't know that this is kind of what I do. I get opinions from people around the league, coaches and executives. I couldn't find not one person to criticize the move. They put him in the top five or six safeties in the National Football League. Mm. So I'm thinking, why would the Rams re-sign him? Well, that was a big number the Eagles gave him. The number was going to be $7 million. The Ravens were in this to the end. The Ravens really liked him, but the Eagles won this. Howie Roseman has a way of working with agents. Interesting side note here, Rodney McLeod's agent is former NFL fullback Tony Page. Remember,
yeah,
the Jets,
sure,
and the Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony, I spoke to Tony. He said that they were very aggressive and they wanted this to get done. Some people think he's one of the most technically sound safeties in the National Football League. So I don't see that was a surprise. That was a heck of a job by the Eagles to get him signed here. Brandon Brooks, there was some competition for Brandon Brooks. The only thing about Brandon Brooks is he's a little bit inconsistent. He's a big guy. By the way, the Eagles are going back to size here.
Yeah, it looks
this
that
guy
way
is, yeah, massive. When he brings it, he's one of the top safe guards in football. When he doesn't, he's just pedestrian and just average. Jeff Stoutland, one of the best O-line coaches in the league, he'll get after it. But was there that one move? I'm a little surprised that they didn't come out and get his corner, considering they traded Byron Maxwell. That was a surprise to me. I didn't think anyone would take him. As you know, you watched the tape, he did not have a good season. Very disappointing for the Eagles in his only season. Yes, he did get better as the season progressed. He's a football player, you just don't know what you're getting from game to game. He lost his confidence. I've mentioned this, the wiring, from talking to people close to the situation, they question that. I'm almost stunned that the Dolphins took him. But when Byron Maxwell plays well, he's a corner with better than average size, obviously it's 6'1", 1/2". He's probably a little bit better than average as a cornerback, but he's not worth that contract, but he restructured his deal. I haven't got to look at that. But the bottom line is overall, Joe, nothing shocked me. I think people were shocked by the Chase Daniel contract. When Adam Schefter and I broke that story, when I got the numbers and kind of in the morning where it was going, I was like, this is way better than I thought. But I get it. Little secret here, 6 teams were involved. The Eagles blew them out of the water, obviously. There was another team that actually probably would have given him a chance to start if things broke right, but the problem is that one team that I'm thinking of, I can't reveal the team, they probably would have drafted a quarterback, so he may not have gotten the chance that he's going to get in Philly, where he's one injury away or some bad performances away from playing.
Interesting. 610-632-0975, Joe DeCameron, Adam Kaplan. You know, Adam, let's talk about the Byron Maxwell and DeMarco Murray trades, and you touched on the Maxwell one, but I want to sort of go inside this.
That was a little surprising. I should mention.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is it's obviously very rare. We talked a lot about how almost impossible it is to move on from a high-priced free agent player after just 1 year. It's a cap killer. And essentially, the only way to avoid it from being a cap killer, and by the way, they still took a cap hit big time at $8.8 million of dead cap space between the two players combined. But what avoided it being a monstrous cap hit of dead space is the fact that Howie Roseman worked with the agents, thereby working with the players, to allow them to seek out an opportunity on the outside so that if they found a team interested in them, the Eagles and the team could try to link up on a trade, and the players would have an opportunity to negotiate, in this case, renegotiate their contract with the new teams. I thought it was a very nuanced, and listen, this isn't unheard of, but it's a certain level of skill. I'm not sure if Chip Kelly in charge of the whole thing. I'm not sure if Chip Kelly would have been able to pull that off. What are your thoughts?
Amazing. This is probably the best job Roseman has done during the free agency period in my 17 years of covering the National Football League. It's just incredible. I'll admit it. I was wrong. I didn't think they'd be able to move Murray. Stunned.
And it took a nuanced approach. When you
well,
say,
they I mean, gave him permission to seek a trade.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I can tell you there was another team that I thought around the time when I heard Murray is probably going to be moved, there was another team that I thought he might go to, but Tennessee did not have a starting running back. Antonio Anderson is more of a power backup. Murray in this system, by the way, when you look at Mariota, they used him a lot under center. He's not a shotgun quarterback anymore. So they're actually, this is going to help Murray. But again, I give Roseman credit there. I'm kind of stunned. Guy worked his magic, and what hasn't he done?
Yeah, it's been interesting going from 13-8. Not insignificant. I mean, look, that's a whole extra level
again,
of quality.
Another one. You had asked me earlier in the week, was it true of the rumors? I said I have a hard time believing that the Dolphins would give up what they did. You know. Giving up five, that's a lot. Five spots in the first round. We're not talking about the fourth round, guys. We're talking about moving from 13-8. That is significant. But the way that I've heard it explained, the Dolphins really believe that Byron Maxwell is a much better or solid starting corner that they had, and he's got size. And ironically, what kind of front will the Dolphins run this season? The wide nine. Jim Washburn's a D-line coach. How about that? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I don't need Jim Washburn said. I don't need his name on my show.
But wide nine is back in Philly, though, under Jim Schwartz.
All right, Nigel Bradham. They get him later in the night in that first crazy day. 2-year deal from the Bills, linebacker, outside linebacker. What can you tell us about him?
Nigel Bradham. It was either going to be Tahir Whitehead from Temple. I spoke to a Lions coach who told me that when Whitehead played for Schwartz, he barely played. But he knows Schwartz's system. But Nigel Bradham is a better cover linebacker. and he's a better football player than Jahir Whitehead, and that's kind of why they did it. This is what Roseman is very smart with. He just listens to his coaches. Who do you want? Let's go get him. Who's going to fit in your system? My only problem with that is Jim Schwartz won't be here more than 2 years. He's going to be head coach again. It's just something you have to think about. Obviously, you're not thinking about it, the Eagles, but the talk around the league is most people think Jim will be a head coach again. You're bringing these guys in to fit a system. It's something to think about.
Connor Barwin's a name that has not been said much over the last 2 to 3 days. He's certainly been one of the better. He's probably been one of the top 5 to 7 Eagles of the last 2 years or 3 years, whatever it's been. There seems to be a sense, both because of the change to the 4-3 and because of the new personnel brought in, that Connor Barwin might not be a starter.
No. Who's starting?
Well, what is he?
Brandon Graham will
he's
be
a DN?
Excellent. No, here's...
What is
no,
he?
He's definitely playing DN.
Defensive end?
He is the starting defensive end opposite Vinny Curry. Brandon Graham, they haven't gotten to OTAs yet, but my sense is that Connor will be a starting defensive end who occasionally, if you want him to, you could line up their NASCAR package. You could put Vinny Curry, because he's played inside.
Yep.
There's your three guys. They could play NASCAR. He can also play strong side linebacker. And Kendricks will play outside.
Do you think he can hold up at DN?
He did actually early in his career with the Texans before they went to a 34. Actually, I believe they started with a 43. They went to a 34. And he's played most of his career in the 34 because the Eagles, when he came here, played a 34.
Adam Kaplan, Jonah Cameron, 97.5, the Fanatic from the Maxwell Football Club. Adam, what is your understanding at this moment of the Eagles' cap situation? They spent a
excellent
lot of money.
They're fine. They will be fine. They take one. I think there's like $1 million in dead money in Shane Sharon's contract because he had a signing bonus. Signing bonus expiration. There's $1 million left, but they save $3.5 million under the cap because his base salary was $4.5 million, and there was subtract the $1 million in proration. They save $3.5 million. On his contract, and they're in fine cap shape. Now, I keep telling people this. Don't worry about Fletcher Cox.
Why? I'm not really worried. I think they'll get it done.
It has nothing
but
to do
why?
With the cap. It's because there's a difference of opinion on what the contract should be.
Well, isn't that a problem?
Well, they listen, it's going to be a monster contract.
Well,
they'll figure it out.
Well,
God,
they probably will,
it's
but
not
I mean,
a concern,
but if
Joe.
There's something to be worried about, it's the fact that they have a difference of opinion.
By the way, he's under contract for a year.
Sure.
Don't worry about it.
I got it.
And
then
they will not trade him. They will not let him go.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. They love this kid. He will finish his career as an Eagle. He's one of the top three D linemen in the National Football League. They just got to come together on what they think the numbers should be. That's all. There's no rush. The Eagles know where the contract's going to go. How they get there is the question. On structure, average per season, it's going to be better than J.J. Watt's deal when it gets done. That deal's over 2 years old.
Yeah.
That's not even an issue.
And the cap's going up.
And cap's going up. And
right.
Did you see, and Dominican Sue's deal's $20 million a year. Okay, did you see what Olivier Vernon got at $17 million? And he's a upside defensive end who's not proven yet. He's just a guy that the Giants are banking on is going to be great. He's not great yet. Fletcher Cox is a great football player, period, end of story.
Adam, we get calls all the time on the station about the wide receiver situation. To me, it starts with this. If you're the Eagles, do you believe Jordan Matthews can or cannot play outside?
He's not an outside receiver, period, end of story.
All right.
No one in the league thinks he is.
All right.
They could try it, but
And I hear that from a lot of people. So if that's the case, okay, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that helped get him on the field so much last year in three wide receiver sets was they didn't have a fullback. Now, it's not like the Eagles under Doug Peterson are going to have, this isn't 1950. You're not going to have a fullback on the field every play.
No, they're going to have one.
But they're going to have a fullback on the football team. So by definition, unless there are three receivers in a play, which would typically mean no fullback, or unless there are two receivers, but both on the same side and Jordan Matthews covered up by the outside receiver, if it's first and 10 and Doug Peterson wants to run a play that has a fullback, a running back, a wide receiver on the left, and a wide receiver on the right, well, doesn't look like if Jordan Matthews can't play outside, doesn't look like there's a spot for him on first and 10.
It depends on the formation. They go too tight, too wide. They go in single back without a fullback. It just depends.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you're talking about their
potentially
best.
Potentially could it be on the
it's
on the
their
field
best left? Wide receiver, and yet everyone says he can't play outside. It's kind of an issue.
Depends how formationally you line him up also. You can line him up a little bit wider than the slot. But he's not an outside receiver, period, on the story. He's just not. He doesn't get off press very well. He's an inside, find space, go get the football. His hands must improve. Let's be honest. The receiver position was not coached well under Chip Kelly. Actually, poorly. They led the NFL in drops, like it or not. Fact of the matter is that's the truth. Aguilar will be one of their starting outside receivers, and then they're going to have to figure it out. By the way, they were interested in Darius Heyward-Bey, who re-upped with the Steelers. He's an outside receiver who could run, but he's a better special teams player than a starting receiver. They have interest in Andre Holmes, who's a big receiver who could run. They've got to do something. You're absolutely right at wide receiver.
Jenna Cameron, Adam Kaplan, 610-632-0975. We roll on from the Maxwell Football Club, the 79th annual awards banquet down here in the Tropicana Casino and Resort. We roll 7 o'clock Sixers basketball. Keep it here on The Fanatic.
The voice of the Philly sports fan, 97.5 The Fanatic.
You compare restaurants, you compare flights, you even compare Spike squeaky toys. So why not compare credit cards? Having an aha moment? We thought you might. Here at NerdWallet, we believe that you shouldn't just settle for any old credit card. You should be totally 100% without a doubt certain you're getting the best credit card for you. That's why NerdWallet makes it easy to filter and compare over 1,700 credit cards, all in one place. So whether you're looking for the best travel, reward, cashback, or balance transfer card, you can be absolutely sure you made the best choice. Plus, comparing credit cards on NerdWallet is fast, super fast. Like, we bet it takes longer to brush your teeth fast. And last year, people who signed up for a new credit card through NerdWallet received over $30 million in sign-up bonuses. So what are you waiting for? You already compare restaurants, flights, and yeah, even the radio station you're listening to. So go to NerdWallet.com now and get the credit card that's best for you. It's free. NerdWallet.com.
Hi, I'm Greg Miner. As the founder of a small business, I know firsthand how difficult it can be to manage through cash flow problems. When I tried to borrow money, the banks wouldn't touch me, and I got a lot of fast talk from loan brokers. That's why we founded Merchant Capital Source 10 years ago, to help small business owners like you get the funding you need without getting the runaround. We'll fund your business from $5,000 to $200,000, and because we're a direct lender, there's no middleman to cause delays or cost you money. If you've been in business for 6 months and have sales of at least $15,000 per month, we can approve you within hours and put cash in your account within 3 days. The process is fast and easy, and the best part is that no tax returns, financial statements, or business plans are necessary. Experience the Merchant Capital Source difference and get cash for your business today.
Apply online at mcscash.com or call 800-900-6191. That's 800-900-6191. 800-900-6191. Loans made or arranged pursuant to a California Finance Lenders Law License.
Hey, Flyers fans, ready to cheer your hockey team on? Thanks to Budweiser, you can cheer every Flyers goal the minute they score. Join the Fanatic and Jason Mertitas Saturday night, March 12th at Maggie's on North Delaware Avenue from 7 to 9. We'll be there watching the Flyers play the Florida Panthers and enjoying the great taste of Budweiser beer. And every time the Flyers score, your Budweiser pitcher will light up. So join us Saturday night, March 12th at Maggie's on North Delaware Avenue from 7 to 9. And watch the Flyers light up the scoreboard and your Budweiser pitcher. Budweiser, the perfect beer for watching Flyers hockey.
Square Trade does not cover lost or stolen items. Savings based on 2-year iPhone plan with one claim compared to Assure and total equipment coverages of August 10th, 2015.
Getting a new iPhone, Galaxy, or other smartphone? Get this. Every 2 seconds, one of us accidentally breaks our phone. So protecting your new smartphone is a smart idea. But instead of getting phone insurance through your wireless carrier, here's a new way to save hundreds of dollars. I'm Steve Abernethy, and I founded SquareTrade to give you a better choice. Insurance from your wireless carrier can cost you as much as $11 a month, plus up to a $199 deductible when you break your phone. SquareTrade phone protection is less than $5 a month with a much lower deductible. We can save you over $240. Drops, spills, accidents, malfunctions, we cover it. That's why we have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and are trusted by over 18 million customers. So protect your new phone with SquareTrade and start saving today.
Protect your new phone with SquareTrade and you can save over $240. Go to SquareTrade.com. That's SquareTrade.com.
Giving your car a tune-up is like giving it a yearly physical, and AutoZone has everything you need to get the job done right, without the weird hospital smell. With new spark plugs, filters, oil, and helpful advice, AutoZone can keep your car running healthy and strong. With our help, you can always fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Tune up with your tax refund and save. Save $2 on Autolite Iridium XP spark plugs after mail-in rebate. Limit 16. See store for restrictions and details.
Guys, if you're like me, you love looking sharp in a new suit. So check out Collection by Michael Strahan, only at JCPenney. Get a great selection of quality tailored suits, modern dress shirts, and smart accessories. Also, rush in now to the men's wardrobe sale for 50% off all suits and sport coats. And save an extra 20% off select items when you use your JCPenney credit card and coupon, or 15% off with any other form of payment. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon required. Valid through 3/12. Some exclusions apply. 20% off are subject to credit approval. Check newspaper at jcp.com for coupon and details.
Philly. Get ready for WWE Monday Night Raw. Just 2 weeks from WrestleMania. Monday night, March 21st at Wells Fargo Center. See World Heavyweight Champion Triple H. Plus, in a six-man tag team battle, you'll see Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Chris Jericho join forces to face Sheamus, Bray Wyatt, and Intercontinental Champion Kevin Owens. And more. Don't wait. Great seats are available now at the box office and ComcastTix.com.
This is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. I'm always hearing from business owners who just can't get the money they need to grow. It's time for funding to catch up to the 21st century. It's time for Cabbage. Fill out the application online and you'll get a decision in minutes and could have access to a line of credit of up to $100,000. No waiting, no hassle. Cabbage is the real deal, A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and twice a Forbes top 100 company. So go to Cabbage.com. That's Cabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E, or call 888-CABBAGE.
It's Kia Madness at Kia Westchester and Kia of Coatesville. This week, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for any trade. Drive away in a new 2016 Kia Soul or a new 2015 Kia Optima today for just $111 per month or two for $222. That's crazy! And always remember, Jim Sapala wants to see ya in a Kia.
All fine buyers, 36-month leases, 3111 every section, plus tax and tax, no security deposit, dealer retains all factory rebates, offers don't combine, expires months in.
Join the revolution by becoming a 2016-17 76ers season ticket member.
Yes!
Get access to all 43 home games and year-round team events with a Sixers City membership starting at just $11 a seat per game. See Sixers stars Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, plus the 2016 draft picks take on the biggest names in the NBA. Buy today and choose a gift from a list including an Allen Iverson photo op, bonus tickets to games this season, and more. To purchase, visit SixersCity.com or call 215-339-7676.
All right, we roll on from the Maxwell Football Club 79th Annual Awards Banquet, Tropicana Casino and Resort in Atlantic City. Joe DeCamera, Adam Kaplan. It's a Friday night when Adam and I are together during the football season. It's a Wednesday night when Ron Jaworski and I are together during the football season, and the president of the Maxwell Football Club joins us here on set. Jaws, what's going on? Another great evening.
Joe, come on. Absolutely phenomenal evening. Yeah, we got applause. We got 1,000 people in a room. 6 people clap. Thank you, family. Before we get into some of the guys that are here and the celebrities that are here, Joe did a phenomenal job today at our press conference. I mean, it was spectacular. All our award winners, a great crowd in the amphitheater here at the Tropicana. Joe was rocking and rolling, man. Had the place buzzing. Great job, Joe. Well, like usual, Joe gets it done.
Charles, I appreciate that. You know, one of the things that really stands out about this year, there, of course, are the very prominent award winners, such as Cam Newton and Ron Rivera, and, you know, the winners that the public's very familiar with. But there are a couple of really unique awards this year, including maybe the most unique award that the club has ever had. And I'm talking about the Uplifting Athlete Rare Disease Champion Award winner, Jake Olson, who the audience at home is probably not familiar with. He is the long snapper for USC's football team. Adam, Jake Olson is legally blind.
I did not know this. Wow.
He is a blind long snapper in Division I college football. When I was told this today, because I had to introduce him earlier,
wow,
and I was given the information, and I said, hold on, excuse me, and it wasn't to him, it was, you know, to one of the staffers at the Maxwell. I said, hold on, he's blind? And he said, yes. And I said, he plays for USC? And he said, yes. And I said, hold on, we're talking about the USC and the Pac-12, right? Yes. And they said, yes, that USC. Jaws, I've never heard of anything like that.
And beside what he has accomplished on the football field, he's an incredible human being. I believe he was on Mike's show earlier. We should probably get him if we could, because he's an incredible person. And I had an opportunity last night to spend about 20 minutes with him. And we were talking about how he can do this. Now, you can imagine.
That's what I like to know.
And Joe just, you know, put it on a tee for me. This is not at some podunk university. It's a USC major competition. This guy is the long snapper. And I basically was asking how. He says, it's just muscle memory. I do it so much that, you know, I put my head down. I know exactly how to snap the football. So this is one of the wonderful things that the Maximum Football Club does. It's not only recognizing, you know, the Derrick Henrys and the guys that are the no-brainer athletes that we all know and idolize and know terrific, but finding that diamond in the rough, the uplifting athlete that really gives everyone hope that no matter what handicap they may have or disability they have, they can do something with their life. So clearly, you know, the Uplifting Spirit Award tonight, just like the Tom Brookshire Spirit Award, where we honor the academies, Army, Navy, and Air Force tonight, they're special awards.
Charles, the Tom Brookshire Spirit Award that you just touched on. First off, Brookie, as we all know, was a revered Philadelphia athlete and personality. I mean, you knew Brookie so well. He was an amazing...
Joe, not to interrupt you, but, you know, we're here having fun. You know why? Because that's a tempo Brookie set. You know, when I came to Philadelphia in 1977 and started attending these dinners as a player, everyone fell in love with Tom Brookshire because there was no pretense about what it was. Bunch of guys and girls that love football, you drink beer, have a good time. And Brookie would rip the mayor, he'd rip the governor, he didn't care. There was no political correctness with Brookie. And that's what we loved about him. But he typified the spirit of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia football fans. And that's why the Spirit Award is named after him. We don't give it out every year because, Joe, as you know, you're part of this club and now a major part of it. You know, the fabric of Tom Brookshire is embedded in this club.
Yeah, really, it was so great to recognize him. And, Jaws, this is our first year without Chuck Bednarik, who was a huge part of the club as well.
Well, it was tough last night, you know. And Bob Clark, who was our executive director for 50 years, also passed away this last year. So, but they're in this room. We know Chuck Bednarik, Bob Clark, they're in this room. They, again, embody what the club was about, the spirit of Philadelphia. Chuck Bednarik, you can travel anywhere in this country, and it's concrete Chuck Bednarik. And what a story with Tyler Matakevich winning the award. You know, a Temple guy, a tackling machine, up from the Bethlehem area. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And he has a great year. He wins a Bednarik Award the same year that Chuck passes. So, you know, up above, Chuck Bednarik is still watching this event.
And Adam, of course, you know, being from Philadelphia and seeing Temple this year, I mean, it's really one of the real buzzes in the room. Especially with Matt Rhule walking around, because look, Al Golden started it. Everybody knows that. And there's a transition process through the coaches. But what Matt Rhule was able to accomplish, I mean, they instilled incredible pride in that program for the university, for the current students and the alumni. I mean, really amazing.
In my lifetime, I never thought Temple would be a competitive football team. And being at that Notre Dame game was unbelievably electric. It was sold out. Remember, they had the game with 5 minutes left. They had the lead. They didn't win it, but Temple football, you can't say it's back. It was never there.
Great line. I'm going to steal that line. Charles, that's not a bad line.
I'm writing that one down as I'm speaking.
I'm not insulting the great Wayne Harden. He did a great job, but Rhule's taken it to a level that no one saw going to. This is a basketball school. This is not a football school. Now they're going to get a new stadium. I grew up in Cheltenham, okay? That's where Old Temple Stadium was. It was a dump. They don't have their own stadium. I don't know if Matt Rhule will stay here forever, but what he's been able to do, being close to this program, I'm blown away by it. It's phenomenal, and you can't just say it's a basketball school anymore.
And Adam, he brought energy to the program.
Energy and passion.
And I think that's where it starts. And I was actually, after the Temple season ended, I had to speak at the Fox Business School. And a lot of the executives and directors and leaders up there at Temple University, and they were telling me about the last two open houses that they've had on campus. You could not get there. There were so many people on campus trying to get into Temple University. You know why? That national TV game that Adam talked about, the rise of Temple football and their prominence as a collegiate powerhouse. People now are aware of Temple University. Matt Rhule, the great job he's done. Hey, it's always been a tremendous school. Everybody knows that. Athletics has always been a major part, but the football team and that Sunday night game against Notre Dame, all eyes of the country were on Philadelphia, Temple University, and the Temple program.
It was electric. It really was electric that evening. Joe DeCamera, Ron Jaworski, Adam Kaplan, 97.5, the Fanatic from the 79th annual Maxwell Football Club Awards Gala in the Tropicana Casino and Resort in AC tonight. Jaws, we've talked obviously a lot, and Adam and I did in the first segment about the Eagles. Talk about another team that we'd like to see rise up. Now, they're not coming from the depths of where Temple was, but certainly the Eagles, over a bunch of years now, have not been where we'd want to see them. 4 out of 5 years now out of the playoffs.
Well, Joe, you had them after the Green Bay preseason game winning like six straight Super Bowls.
You and I both gave it to them. And they
six, I said 16.
Where did you have them finishing before the season? Be honest.
9-7.
Nine's good.
Okay. Yeah,
9-7.
I
don't know. That sounds fishy.
9-7.
Someone's got to check the tape.
Where's the Hagan?
I find that very hard.
That's why I asked.
Hey, and I was worried, and we argued this the whole preseason, Joe, while Joe had the pom-poms out, just like the Eagles cheerleaders around this room.
Well, I don't look
Joe,
as good as that.
Don't be looking at all the cheerleaders out there.
All right, I'm out of here. You guys do the show. I'm going to the cheerleaders.
That's right. You and Cosell are probably going out there.
Joe, preseason, did you not learn preseason means absolutely nothing?
No, he did. But I was worried about the turnover of that when Chip Kelly did in the offseason. We spoke about it every week, and I'm a little bit concerned about it again with Doug Peterson coming in. It's hard. You know, football is the constant team game, and the constant churn, it's hard to get the continuity that is necessary. Now, Coach Peterson's on his way here right now. He's coming up the Atlantic City Expressway. He'll be joining us tonight. I'm a big fan of Doug Peterson. You know, I was involved in that coach's search to hire Doug Peterson. I don't know how good of a head coach he's going to be, but he has all the attributes that you look for that great coaches have had. So, you know, you got to give Doug Peterson, how he's done a terrific job so far, and I call it the non-playing season, because the minute you start playing games, as you found out, Joe, it changes rather quickly.
Hey, Jones, you know, Adam and I were talking in the first segment about Doug coming tonight. And, you know, obviously he's not an award winner. I mean, he hasn't been a head coach yet. But I think it's important. I think what Andy Reid did for many years, he was an honoree many times as the coach of the year. But Andy Reid would also come all the time, year after year he was here. It's a Philadelphia thing. It's the Maxwell Football Club, born out of Philadelphia. It's grown. It's in Atlantic City. It's a national thing, but it's a Philadelphia thing. I think it's an outstanding, smart move by Doug Peterson to be here tonight.
Absolutely correct. And you know, Doug knows the fabric of Philadelphia. He was here as an assistant coach. He was here as a player. You know, he knows what this town is about. And that was also very important in the selection process for Doug Peterson. You have to have a special medal to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You have to have a special medal to play on this Eagle football team as a player, because this town is demanding. And that's great, and that's how we want it to be. We don't want it to be easy, because it's not easy once you cross the line to play the game.
I would just say one thing. Be patient. This team needs a lot of work. They're not even remotely close to being done. I don't expect it to be a great football team. They're going to try to build this.
Well, you are a buzz killer, Adam.
I'm just being honest.
You are, yeah, just bring
I'm
the cold
be patient,
water out
just
here.
Just be patient. Just you said it, though. Winning the offseason wins nothing. You don't win games in the offseason. You win them in September.
Charles, what do you make of the quarterback situation?
I love it.
You love that they had the 20th best quarterback in football?
No. Wait.
See, this is what I do on Wednesday nights. This is how I prove.
He gets me going. I get up out of my chair, and I'm like, what are you talking about, Joe? And, you know, and I love when Joe comes in, he sits with me, and we watch games, and we argue like hell, which is what, you know, by the way, this is what coaches do when they look at tape. They argue. Everyone has opinions, and that's the beauty of it. And you know, after the season, I went back and watched every throw that Sam Bradford made last year, all 575, including the preseason, plays that didn't count due to penalties, looked at all those throws, and I came away very impressed with Sam Bradford. And for most of the season, I was impressed watching it game by game. But it's amazing when you sit for 9 hours, watch throw after throw after throw. The accuracy, pinpoint accuracy, repetitive accuracy, as Chip Kelly would like to say. You watch the subtle movement in the pocket, all those things. The reading progression, getting the ball out of his hands. The negative was there were no audibles in this system. Sam's a veteran quarterback. Against the Buffalo Bills, 21-0 coverage is not one audible because he couldn't. So I watched Sam play, and Sam played the quarterback position very well. And when you look, and I call them failed receptions rather than drop balls. There are a lot of drop balls, but there are a lot of bad routes. Nelson Aguilar was clueless sometimes running routes. Hey, he's a rookie. You expect that. He's got to run more precise routes and more defined routes and understand a route adjustment once the ball is snapped. A number of balls that should have been caught inbounds, guys getting a foot out of bounds. Those are failed receptions that probably cost Sam 7 or 8% in his completion percentage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there, I thought when it was all over, getting Sam signed was the right thing to do, and I was very happy when Howie and Doug got it done.
And yet, Adam, you know, despite these positives, and there were positives, clearly, there was seemingly a very small market for Sam Bradford. I mean, you know, as an NFL insider, that was that surprising
there
to you?
There was no market for him. That's why now I give the Eagles credit. Tom Condon, when you talk to contract negotiators around the league, might be the toughest agent to deal with. It's grueling. It's tough. You're worn out when you're dealing with him. He's a great agent. Why? Because he's got the best players in the National Football League, and he gets what he wants. Even when he doesn't have leverage, he creates leverage. This thing went down to the wire. They got the deal done, but I could tell you this is a one-year deal. Forget 2 years. He will not be the starting quarterback at 17 if he doesn't play well this season.
Yeah.
Well,
telling you, they're not.
No,
but he's gone after one season.
That's not a revelation.
No, but I'm telling you.
This is a what have you done lately league.
And I'll give you another one. Third week of August, if he is not performing at a high level, I think the quarterback who was brought in here, Chase Daniel, could start really
seriously
for that job.
Seriously. How much tape of Chase Daniels have you watched? Did you go back to his college career?
Hey, I'm not debating the tape.
He's not a starting NFL quarterback.
Listen,
a stopgap, backup quarterback that is fine.
Jaws,
he will not be.
I'm telling you.
I'm listening.
if Sam Bradford is struggling.
He's not going to struggle.
Okay, but if he Chase Daniels can take the job.
Why do you think? What have you seen in Chase Daniels?
It has nothing to do with what I've seen. It's what I know.
Okay.
It's my job to know.
Okay.
All right.
How long have you known me? A long time.
13 or 14 years?
A long time. I know the same people you know, too.
Okay.
And I'll base my evaluation on at least my opinion and people that I talk to, but more importantly, what I see on the tape.
I feel like, as a performer, I get it.
That's all I can go on. A lot of stuff is, and you know, the last couple of days, you just had an absolute ball, Adam. You've been phenomenal with Adam, all the guys, you know, breaking the news that is so important.
Yeah.
This is one that, you know, it's like Christmas for guys like Adam and Shefty. And
I'm been working since I've been here.
Yeah, you've been hanging around Shefty. You got the phone out, you know, everything's working, but.
Guys, we'd love to go all night. We've got 76.
Hold on. Adam got me fired up. Joe, you got me fired up.
Charles and I have gone at it over
here.
We
need a special edition Ron Jaworski show in the next couple
of weeks. Yeah, where's the
Hagen? Where's the coming back. Get
where's
the Hagen
he
over here.
Sixers and Nets coming up at 7 o'clock tonight.
So they're going to bench Bradford, huh? Are they going
to
bench Bradford?
Well, just see what happens. He's the starter, Charles, for now.
Bring it on.
What do you say we just blow past the Sixers postgame show and keep this
going? Let's do it.
Or pregame show.
He's fired me up here.
You're going to be sweating. Look at this. Don't be kidding me. Ooh, Chase Daniels, let's all get excited.
final thing quickly, Jaws. Right. Congratulations, Maxwell Football Awards. This is a extravaganza.
Jaws, thanks for counting me down, man. I appreciate it.
No, seriously,
thank you.
This is a big deal, and you've been a big part of it, obviously.
1,500 people packing this place,
tremendous.
Man. I love football. It's great.
Jaws,
even Adam showing up.
Adam, thank you. Adam, thank you for joining us tonight. And have a great rest of the night, everyone. 76ers basketball, the Sixers game at 7. Pre-game show coming up next. We'll talk to you later on. Have a great weekend. Sixers Hoops next on 97.5 The Fanatic.